We are joined this morning by Deborah Driggs, a former model, actress, now is a healing coach. We'll get to some of that in a bit, too. But author is now another that you can add. Deborah, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You have written or co-written, I guess, maybe be the way to put this, or as it worked as an editor, in a sense, for this book called Son of a Basque. Talk about this, I guess. This is your grandfather's story, in a sense, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, this was 40 years in the making. He actually started writing this book 40 plus years ago. He, you know, sent it out to publishers and sent out letters, you know, trying to get the book published. I found all of this in this box in 2017, but he passed in 1998, and then in 2017, when I was cleaning my grandmother's house, I found the box, and it was the only thing that I took from her house. I had it shipped to LA. It sat another 2 years. I opened it in 2019, and it was like doing a puzzle. I started putting it together, and I thought, this is a beautiful story. And what was even more fascinating is that 80% of what I was reading, I had no idea. Like, I had no idea. I had to call my mom several times, and she was even like, well, I knew that, but, you know, he never really talked about it.
Right. So at least you had one generation that was still sort of connected, so you can kind of get some ideas of your grandfather, even as a younger man. So you had no idea that he had written this and that he was trying to get this published, that sort of thing. This whole thing was a whole new experience.
Whole new experience. And what was cool was reading letters to publishers and reading how they were trying on their own. And the thing that I think I sat with the most is that during the time that they were writing these letters, I had moved to Los Angeles, and I had an agent, and I started working in the entertainment business, and they never asked me for help. You know, they never said, you know, what should we do, or do you have any connections? And that I found even more interesting. Like, they didn't want to ask me for help, I guess. And so, yeah, you know, they weren't able, obviously, to get it published. And I just felt that it would be doing him a disservice if I did not find a way to get the book published. You know, you have to understand, this book had been sitting for a lot of years, and it was on typed paper that had literally turned yellow. It was that, it had been sitting that long. And so as I was reading it, it's like it was all over my dining room. I had papers and, oh, this must go here. Oh, wait a second. This was talked about in this chapter. You know, it was all disheveled. It wasn't, so that's why it took me probably a few months just to kind of put it in some type of a semblance. And then, you know, and then, yeah, I definitely had to do a lot of rewriting, and I tried to keep it as authentic to what my grandfather had written as I could, but there were some things missing, and then you have to play a guessing game, you know, and that's why I think he struggled. As I was reading the book, I could feel his struggle on, should it be an autobiography? Should it be a memoir? Should it be a fiction? And so I felt that struggle with what I was reading, and so I thought, it's definitely going to be fiction because I can't fact-check anything. And it was a really interesting process, and I just feel super blessed
All right.
to have
well, let's
done
get,
it.
Let's get into the story, or at least the main character in the story. Tell us about this young man and what he went through, and losing his father at a young age. I guess take us back to the sort of the beginning and how the story developed.
Well, yeah, the first chapter was what really drew me in, because, you know, in the first chapter, it just jumps right into, nobody was there for the Vergaras. Nobody was there to help us. You know, his parents were running from stuff themselves, really, is what you get the sense of. And then here he is at the age of 10, and his dad's dying. And his dad died really young, in his 50s. And then, because he was the oldest boy in the family, he became the man of the house at 10. Like, all this responsibility was put on him at a very young age. And I believe then the mother, you know, his mother had a child, and then one of the his little sister fell in the well. So they had all these tragedies in the first chapter. I was like, okay, seriously, this is like an opening scene of a movie. Like, I could see this being an opening of a movie, of a film, because I'm going, really? Like, all of this right at the beginning? But what's really cool is that, you know, the main character is so resilient, and you just feel this resilience and this, like, I'm never going to stop until I pursue whatever, like, whatever was driving the main character. He just kept going. You know, he hopped on a train and hung out with hobos. You know, back then they were hobos. They jumped on trains and tried to get to a location, and in surviving in weather conditions and no food. And he did that to leave Colorado to get to California with no money. And then, you know, joining the Army Air Corps back then is what it was called before it was the Air Force. And they wanted to put him kind of in the kitchen, you know, because he didn't speak great English. And he's like, no, I want to fight for the United States of America. Like, I want to fight. And then, you know, he, like, everything, he was so persistent, you know. And that was the beautiful thing. Like, I'm reading this going, wow, this is this is such a great example of somebody who just does not take no for an answer. And the fact that he did survive 25 missions as a tail gunner in World War II when they wanted to put him in the kitchen, you know? And so those are like the beginning chapters of the book, and it just draws you in. And I don't know, I kept saying, you know, in 1998, I gave this man his eulogy at his funeral. I was very close with my grandfather. And after reading this book, I thought, wow, I wish I could go back and redo that, because I didn't do it justice. I mean, he was a true hero. He was a real leader.
It's called Son of a Basque. Our guest this morning is Deborah Driggs. Putting this together, what made you come up with that title? And talk a little bit about the importance of that as the title of your book.
Well, here's the deal. That was the title that was on the manuscript. And like I mentioned before, I tried to keep it as authentic to what I think his vision was. And even though he's no longer with us, I really wanted this to be his book. And being that was the title on this manuscript and on all the letters and everything, I kept it. And I think the reason why he called the book, and this is a guess again, is his father, his mother, her family migrated from the Basque Country in Spain. They left and they ended up in Chihuahua, Mexico. And there's a whole story in the book about being chased out of Mexico by Pancho Villa. And so she had the Basque gene, but his grandfather was a famous bullfighter in Spain. We're still trying to figure that out too as well. I'm still working on some of these things for my own personal, but his father would tell him stories as a boy about being Basque and how proud he was of being Basque. And so that's why I think he decided, if I were to guess, to call it Son of a Basque.
What have you learned about yourself or your qualities or your... A lot of times people wonder, where did I come from? How did I get to be who I am? What did you see in your father or grandfather that you kind of see in yourself or seems that you're continuing on?
Well, that's such a great question. How I think this relates to what I do today, I'll put it in that perspective, is, you know, I coach people today and I talk a little bit about generational trauma or generational things that get passed down. And, you know, when we say things like, I don't know why I feel this way. Well, I totally get that now after reading this book, because what this did for me is it really became the importance of leaving something behind for generations to come so that we understand why things affect us maybe the way they do. And sometimes we say things like, I don't know why I feel this way. And that's because things are passed down that we had nothing to do with. But we still feel those things. You know, it's part of our lineage. And what this book did, really for me, was it made me go, wow, I wish so badly now I could go back and interview all my, you know, all the other three grandparents. I wish I knew their stories, their childhood, their struggles. You know, I never took the time to. So if I have any message at all, it is to go and interview your grandparents while they're still here and learn about their struggles, learn about their childhood. It's just so valuable for generations to come to know that information, I think. And it's also really valuable when I help in what I do today, which is coaching people.
If people want to find out more of what you're up to, as well as this book, where's a good place to get some of that detail?
My website has everything. So my website is my name, which is DeborahDriggs.com. And by the way, anybody listening to this show right now, if you go to my website and you subscribe to my personal letter, I will send you a signed copy for free within the United States.
Wow, that's a great offer. Appreciate that. Our listeners do too.
Yeah.
Son of a Basque is the immigrant story, survivor story. Deborah Driggs, our guest this morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. It's been a lot of fun chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.